Well, as you know, we are almost coming to an end. I only have, after this message, I only have one more message about growing in Christ. Obviously, I could speak about this forever. A lot of what pastoral work is really encouraging people to grow in Christ. But today's message, to confess, I actually had a completely separate message planned. As some of the worship team knows, I plan my messages kind of way in advance. And I was coming up to this one, but I had planned it many months ago. But it was going to originally be about, you know, we need to grow in mutual affection, because that's what Peter's talking about in that passage we're reading in 2 Peter, about, you know, adding to your faith, this and that. And we're going to talk about how do you grow in brotherly love or mutual affection in another translation. And so I was thinking, well, you know what, we need to grow in being united in Christ and, you know, remember we're all one body and Christ is the head and blah, 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 blah. And that's what my messages sound like, I know, blah, blah, blah. But as I continued to prepare it, I just felt in my heart like, you know, this isn't the message right now that we need to hear. And I think God just kind of sidetracked me and he said, you know what, I know, Sam, you're going to just have to back up a bit. We're still going to talk about mutual affection, but a very special kind of mutual affection, which is forgiveness. And that's what I want to talk about today. And so which brings us to this passage in Matthew chapter 5. And Rhea always says this about, you know, when I list, you know, scripture readings, I don't like to do this like one verse thing. I love to do the whole paragraph. If I could, I'd do the whole chapter. If we had time, I'd do the whole letter, you know. But the thing is, I love to read things in context. And an important thing about reading the Bible well is to read what happened before and after. And what happened before this is that just before what we read here, that Alan read, Matthew is describing through the voice of Jesus what the kingdom of God looks like. And it looks very strange. Jesus says that there's going to be blessings in poverty, there's going to be blessings in persecution and pain and being broken in spirit. And so Jesus continues explaining this strange standard, and he says that the kingdom of God is no longer about retributive justice. It's no longer about revenge, folks. It's about reconciliation and forgiveness. So if you're serious about following Jesus, the King, that means you must be a citizen of his kingdom. And what is the main rule of the kingdom of Jesus? It turns out it's forgiveness. And it's at this point where you need to get ready, folks, because these messages are always tough. God is challenging us to realize that the fundamental understanding of what it means to be Christian is that we are forgiven people. And I want to be the first to say that forgiveness is not easy. We have to face things that we do not like about ourselves. We have to face things that we do not like about other people. Forgiveness makes you confront your own pettiness, the pettiness of others. Not just pettiness, but straight up evil. The evil of other people. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. If you're in high school, if you've graduated, if you're retired, all of us must face the task of forgiveness. Forgiveness is so difficult because it seems to ignore the wrong that's been done to us. It seems unfair to let go of that pain. I remember I was at a church once, and one of my pastor's kids, it was so funny. So basically she's a very cute girl, and she accidentally just kind of ran into another girl on the way out. She didn't realize what she did, but the other girl was really like shocked by it, and she just started bawling and bawling, and she said like, "Maddie hit me in the face, she hit me in the face." And like, you know, the pastor's kid's like, "Oh, sorry," you know, but she just walked off, right? You know, what can I do? And like the kid just kept crying, says, "Yeah, but you know, it doesn't matter, you hit me in the face, it doesn't matter what you say, you hit me in the face." And so the mom had to come in, and she said, "You know, it was just an accident. You know, it's okay." And she wouldn't let it go. And, you know, we look at that and we laugh like, "Oh, isn't that cute? You know, she's crying." Or maybe you don't think that's very cute, parents, right? Like, "Oh." But the thing is, that still happens today. You know, sometimes we are hurt by others. And it's legitimately hurt. We're legitimately like struck in the face. We have reason to cry. But the only thing we can do now is to forgive. And that just doesn't seem right, doesn't it? And then some of us, somehow in our twisted human logic, some of us think that we can strike back at others if we continue to hate them. You know, it's odd but true, but many of us continue to resent others because we're unwilling to release the pain of the past. Isn't that a draining process? Do you know someone that you've been hating for all these years? Think about all the energy, all the mental thought, all of the things you've changed about your lifestyle, committed to hating that person, committed to refusing to forgive. My pastor was telling me once about, one of my previous pastors, he was telling me about how he had spoke with one person, and they're just talking, she was just talking about her past life, and she just began to break down, just saying like, I'm just so tired of hating all the time. And you know, it's funny, isn't it? Like one pastor also described the thing about resentment and the lack of forgiveness. It's a strange thing. I mentioned this once in a message before. It's like, you know, hold on to resentment so that you can strike back at them. It's almost like trying to drink poison and then hoping somehow they die as a result of it. You know, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense, but we do this all the time. You know, lack of forgiveness is probably one of the most serious concerns for a church and for a pastor. Because if any bitterness exists anywhere in the community, even if it's not related to the church, it will quickly spread. And why is that? You see, the Bible is very clear about this. You know, if you look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says this. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. Bitterness is a root. You see, resentment or lack of forgiveness waters bitter roots. And why does the Bible describe it as roots? Because we have some very expert gardeners here. I do not have my parents' skills. My parents are amazing gardeners. They garden on a whole nother level. They have like a farm, so I can't even comprehend. But I did have to do a lot of yard work. And you know, just working with them in the field and just recognizing if you don't take care of those weeds, you're going to be in trouble later. You're going to regret it later. There's something about bitterness that grows if we don't attend to it quickly. They start off as small seeds, but if we continue to ignore them, if we continue to deny them, they grow out of control. The funny thing about weeds is they have no respect for fences. They have no respect for convenience. They love to grow wherever they can. You see, roots have a way of reaching into all areas of our life, even though they started in something completely unrelated. You know, from another point of view, my pastor, who was a friend, he was telling me about this time where he went through a great crisis because basically the church was being torn apart with a controversy. They were basically on the verge of splitting. There was, you know, a lot of very serious arguments going on. It was very ugly. Now, he was the pastor of the English congregation, so he had nothing to do with his Korean congregation. So you would think, like, he's removed from it. But he told me about, you know, as time went on, it was interesting how he, even in his own life, he began to think about it, and he discovered that there was just a spiritual unhealthiness, like this resentment and bitterness that was growing in his own heart. And he began to identify and realize that it was coming from all the controversy that was happening in the Korean congregation. And see, that's exactly what happens, is that bitterness begins to poison all these areas of our life. It begins to kind of dip into all the streams leading to all of our relationships, and we just begin to have it contaminate all of the other relationships we have, even though it's completely unrelated to the original bitterness. You know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, it says this, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself." But check this out in verse 15, Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. "If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other." What I want to point out in Galatians chapter 5, it's saying there's a connection between forgiveness and destroying the community. If you're not serious about forgiveness, watch out or you will bite and devour each other. How many good churches out there have done wonderful things with programs, with their building and such, only to be cannibalized from the inside? Now, at this point, I think people are realizing that this sounds like a very serious sermon, and it is. Forgiveness, on an individual level, on a community level, is one of the most important tasks that we have as a Christian. And how little do we talk about in our churches? Because it makes us feel uncomfortable. But this is where we need to start, not where we need to end. And indeed, I look at the task of forgiveness and I think about how difficult it is. I know how serious it is, but I know in my own life, my own experience, how difficult it is to forgive people. We all know, if we're honest, there's real forgiveness never happens overnight. I have real problems believing that someone could just say, I forgive you, and it's a done deal. Forgiveness is one of our most difficult tasks. But to encourage you, I wanted you to consider this. Consider that the ultimate embodiment of love that is described in the Bible, when 1 John tries to describe what does love look like, it describes the grace of Jesus Christ, which is Jesus Christ forgiving us, even though we didn't seek him. You see, this is love. This is the real test of love, forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, we find the full expression of our faith. And in Jesus Christ, we find that we are called to be like him. And what does it mean to look like Jesus? It means to be someone who forgives. In Jesus, he came as one who did nothing wrong, only to be completely wronged by everybody, even his closest friends. And why did he do this? He did this so he could suffer the injustice and pains of the world and take it into himself. And as he took it into himself, as he received it, he died with it. And as he died with it, he broke the debt. He broke the power of it. He broke everything about it. There is no reason anymore in Jesus Christ to ask for more justice, because the ultimate justice was done through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And the good news is this, that Jesus Christ didn't just die and was destroyed by all the debts of our sin. He was greater than that, and he rose again. And because he rose again, that means we can rise from the ashes. You know, maybe some of us have just felt like blown apart by how we've been wronged by someone. Maybe you feel almost like crushed, even destroyed by it. But the good news is this, is that God rises from the dead. So you can too. There is no reason that you need to stay in your old life of resentment and bitterness. If Jesus Christ can rise from the dead, so can you. And this is what Paul is saying in Galatians by exhorting them to remember that they're free. You're free from the powers of sin. And he's saying, you know, why go back to that old lifestyle, devouring each other and not forgiving each other, when Jesus Christ totally cleared the path for you? You are a new person now. Don't go back to that. Because it's everything that Jesus died for. Why do you want to go back to that? And here's where, you know, I can't speak about this stuff without getting a little personal. And there was a time in my life where I was very hurt by my church community, I remember. And, you know, you're thinking, I have a seminary training, I should be better. But, you know, I was so hurt. I was profoundly hurt. And I struggled a lot with resentment and bitterness. And, you know, I'm not afraid to admit it before you, because I know all of us struggle with this. And it got so bad that I decided I needed to actually just take a break. I just needed to take 4 days off, just get away from everybody, because my relationships were so difficult at that time. And so what I decided to do, my pastor had done this, he basically did something called a silent retreat. And there was this monastery out from the city. It was a long drive. And basically what he suggested was doing a silent retreat. Don't speak at all for 4 days. I know for some of us this might be very difficult. For me, it's not that hard. But but don't speak and just commit that whole time to prayer. Just be on your own. Have a time of solitude and silence. And, you know, the first couple of days was very difficult. I had a lot of thoughts, racing thoughts, you know, just all these things coming to mind. I remember even thinking on my first day, I was like, oh, man, I got so many things to do. I've got to get reconciled with God, reconciled with people. Let's do this. You know, And then it just, after the first couple of days, I just, you know, let go of all of my agendas and just said, God, I'm just here for you. I'm going to wait on you. I want to hear what you want to say. And so at that time, I began to dedicate myself to focusing on God's love for me. And it's hard to describe, but basically all my time in prayer, all my time reading the word was just me kind of just sitting at his feet, you know, just trying to remind myself of how generous God's love is for me. And, you know, it was an amazing time. God just began to reveal to me how much he loved me, how much he was just so generous to me. But it was interesting, in the next couple of days, God began to show me that this amazing, generous love that God had for me, he also had for the people I was having problems with. How humbling. God began to show me, like, you know, I love you so much. He began to speak these sweet words of love to me. And he said, you know, this love that I give to you, I'm like, yeah, God, this is amazing. I have that for this person too. I was like, whoa, really? Ah. And it just really called me out. It really humbled me. And even now, today, as I'm speaking, I encourage you to think about how much God loves you. How God knows you so intimately. He knows your history so well. And yet he does not resent you. How God embraces you, who rejoices, that we're all coming together in worship today. He's so happy. He is so glad you're here. He is so delighted in you. He doesn't look at your history and condemn you, but he's so glad that you took the time to encounter him today. And that kind of love is a love that God has for every single person, especially those you think are unworthy of it. How scandalous is God with his generous love? But this very love sustains your life and is the source of every good and perfect gift. This beautiful sun that we enjoy, this beautiful weather that we enjoy, is the same weather that is given to all. The grace of God is given to all. To let our love be contained by bitterness is to deny the generosity of God's love to you. In the Beatitudes in Matthew, this is what Jesus means when it is a blessing to bless those who curse you. What a blessing it is to no longer be devoured and devouring others. What a blessing to have moved past the vicious cycle of bitterness, destruction, revenge, more bitterness, more destruction, more revenge. This is what it means to be blessed. This is what the Beatitudes are about. We have now discovered that living in Christ, what does it mean to be free? It means to be free from bitterness, free from hatred. You can talk to anyone who has the most amazing material wealth, but it's amazing. You can have all the things of the world, but nothing will buy you out of bitterness. Nothing will buy you out of resentment. Nothing can make you free from that. Only the grace of Jesus Christ. And so at this point, you know, it is fair to ask, you know, let's search our hearts right now, even as I'm speaking. Who is it maybe in this church community that we need to forgive? You know, be honest with yourself. You know, admit it. Like, you know, you have been hurt. You have resentment. You have pain. It's okay. I mean, we all go through that. You do yourself a greater disservice to think that you're above that. Who is that family member? I know Thanksgiving, it brings out the best of family, but also the worst, right? I mean, let's be honest, right? But who is it? Maybe in our family. Isn't it funny how family, we love them the most, but they're the ones who can hurt us the most? Is it a close friend that we feel betrayed by? Where we depended on them? And they didn't give us the love that we were expecting. Is it someone that we've been working with for so many years, who we relied on and trusted, only to let us down, to even strike against us, to scheme against us? Who is it that we need to forgive? Is it perhaps a generation of people? I speak, you know, a wonderful thing about CCC is that we have many generations that have gone through this church. But perhaps, you know, younger folks, you need to forgive the older folks when you think that somehow you have the better version of the gospel, that you have the better theology, that you have the better ideas, that somehow in your infinite wisdom, your Bible studies are so much more clear to what God wants for the church. Perhaps there needs to be a repentance of the arrogance of the youth. To think that our songs are better, to think that our worship is better. And if I may be so bold, even perhaps the older generation, perhaps there needs to be forgiveness there. And thinking that somehow we know what the future holds for this new generation that's coming. That we have somehow predicted because we've lived our lives and we know what's to come. Perhaps we need to let go of the fact that even though we have many years of walking with Christ, we're still babies. We're still learning. We've never been at this stage of life before. We need to realize that God is still so much more to teach us, so much more to shape us. How often churches have been split apart with this lack of forgiveness. Perhaps some of us who are younger feel like our fathers and our mothers were not present as they should have been. Perhaps some of us as parents think that our children don't recognize who we are and love us with the respect that is required. And you know, you might be right. You might actually have reason to feel that way. But Jesus Christ didn't come to say, I will only forgive people if you deserve it. Because the whole point of forgiveness is that you don't deserve it. But God gave generously, wonderfully. And you know, the whole reason I'm here today preaching before you is not because I'm qualified, not because I am somehow more righteous, but simply because I've responded to his grace. And that's it. There is no other difference between me and you. And so just this last part of the message, I just want to encourage you with this one last thought. And this is really key. Is that forgiveness is not an event. Okay? It's not a one-time event. Forgiveness is a journey. Okay? If you can't remember much of what I say, that's fine. I don't expect you to. But remember this. Forgiveness is a journey. I think a lot of us, we don't want to forgive because we find it too difficult to do in one setting. Maybe I'm talking to you right now and you're thinking, oh man, if I have to forgive, think of all the stuff I have to do, I got to be a different person, blah, blah, blah. You know what? And then we just turn it off. No thanks, looks too difficult. The truth is today, no matter how effectively I preach to you, there is no way that I can end all your bitterness today. Fact is, I can't do anything about it. It's all up to you. But what you can do today, in this service, at this moment, is that you can commit yourself anew to the journey of forgiveness. And what does this mean? It basically means, if consider yourself you're on a boat, and you're saying, you know what, I am committed to sail on this journey with the end point of reconciliation and forgiveness. But as you know, in all journeys, storms are going to come. You might get a little off track. Your coordinates might get a little garbled up. But at every point that the journey is threatened, you need to commit yourself to remember that you have a destination, that you're not just like aimlessly sailing. Along the way, memories are going to resurface, and you're going to be so tempted to steer back and just forget about this forgiveness journey. But I want to challenge you, as a fellow Christian, as a fellow believer in Christ, don't give up this journey, because this is the most worthwhile journey of your entire life. Because this is the journey that Jesus did for you. Resolve to stay on course. No one can truly forgive and forget. I hate people who say that, because the fact is we never forget. You can't forget. But what you can do is you can say, even if the memories come back, even if that person wrongs you again, you can say, you know what, I'm still committed to this journey of forgiveness. I'm not going to get swayed because God called me to this journey. Nothing's going to keep me from that final destination. If we veer off, we all veer off at some time. Just get back on track. Just get back on that course. Remind yourself that you've already begun the journey. It's not over. This isn't a vicious cycle. Just get back on track. There's going to be moments where bitter wounds will reopen. Your patience and your love will be tested again. But commit to the Holy Spirit and his healing process. And you'll be surprised that as, you know, when you first start this journey, you're thinking, there's no way I'm going to get there. But as you keep on this journey, as the destination becomes more familiar to you, it becomes easier to navigate the course, to recognize when you're getting distracted. But it requires a lot of prayer. It requires a lot of attentiveness to God. We can't do this on our own. If we don't have the model of Jesus' forgiveness, this is not a message I can just preach to anyone. I can only preach this to Christians. Because we know the amazing love of Jesus Christ. I have no right to ask people who don't know Christ to do these great acts of forgiveness. I mean, why? And that is what makes Christianity so unique, so powerful. Why is it it's the gospel has changed so many nations, so many people? Why is it that people recognize that there is something different about the story of Jesus Christ compared to all other religions? Is that we have at the center of the gospel grace. It blows people's minds because it doesn't make sense. Surely this must come from God and God alone. Do we want to lift up a community? Do we want to lift up a church that is different, that can truly heal DC? Then we've got to be a community of grace. You can go into any organization, any business, any nonprofit, and everything has conditions. But you come into the Church of Jesus Christ, and there's forgiveness. You know, for our young people, God does not love you according to your qualifications, to your test standards. He loves you because of grace. He forgives you. He knows what you're doing. Don't act like, you know, don't hide it. He knows those things, but he loves you and he offers forgiveness. For our older folks, you know, maybe you've done a lot of things in life. Maybe you've been in like some bad cycles, bad things you just can't break out of. God knows, and he's willing to forgive and to heal. How amazing is that? If someone who didn't know Christ came into this place and said, you know what, this place is marked by forgiveness, why would they go away? Because they're not going to find it anywhere else. In such a judgmental world, this is how we truly offer something different. You know, I say with a lot of sadness that many churches speak about Jesus Christ, but are not communities of grace. And thereby take away the one thing that makes them different from all of the world. And they have no message to offer. I don't want to be that kind of church. You know, we're talking about Christmas time. It's Christmas time that's coming up. And we're all talking about gifts, giving out gifts. And the fact is, every gift that can be given has already been given. What kind of gift can we give that is truly unique? Is grace, is forgiveness. And so this is my second last message about growing in Christ. And I want to say this. If you have any desire at all to grow in Christ, you must be committed to the journey of forgiveness. Because this is the fundamental thing that brought you into the family of God. There is no way to be Christian without forgiveness. There is no way to be church without forgiveness. If we truly want to grow as individual Christians, if we truly want to grow as a community of Christ, then we must be committed to that journey of forgiveness. But the good news is this, is that God has forgiven us. The Holy Spirit will help us. He will give us the strength to forgive even when we don't think we have the power to do it. The Holy Spirit loves to do that kind of stuff. So let us submit ourselves again to his grace and trust that he can do this. So this is how I'm going to end today's message. I felt really nervous about doing this, but I felt really convicted today. So you're just going to have to bear with me. Is that okay? I'm going to ask everyone to rise. What I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to turn to each other. So folks, just let's all turn to the center here. So we're all looking at each other. This is kind of weird, I know. But I want you to look at everyone who's gathered here. Right? Look at this. It's amazing. You know, we have people from like almost every age group, you know, all kinds of demographics. It's amazing. All of these people. And everyone here is so precious and loved by God. And so if I can be so bold, I want you to say this phrase after me, is that, in the name of Christ, forgive me. Let's all say that together. In the name of Christ, forgive me. And then I also want to say this, as we're still looking at each other, in the name of Christ, I receive your forgiveness. In the name of Christ, I receive your forgiveness. Praise God. Would you pray with me? Let's all pray together. Lord God, we receive your grace here today. Lord, we forgive as you have forgiven us. Lord, we receive your grace again, recognizing that you were forsaken for our sake. That, Lord, you forgave us even though we hurt you so much. And so we pray for this powerful grace to come into our lives. Holy Spirit, would you change us and transform us to be more like Jesus? In your name we pray. Amen.